did you get this?
The alternative media, Jerry. That's where you hear the truth.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Man, I was a huge fan of the Waltons. I remember our former co-worker, great friend, Dan Restione. He was obsessed with the fact that I loved the Waltons. He never could understand that. He was baffled by it. And we would end up talking about the Waltons all the time because he just had no idea how somebody like me would grow up obsessed with. I'll tell you exactly how and why. So when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, my mom was in the choir at Calvary Lutheran Church in Ballard. And they had choir practice on Thursday nights. And so my mom would drive me to my Aunt Sissy's house. She lived just a few blocks away. And Aunt Sissy, she wasn't married. And she, oh, gosh, I loved her. She was like a grandma. I never had a grandma or a grandpa. All four of my grandparents were dead before I was born. But she was like what I imagine most people, you know, think of as their grandma. And Sissy, like so many people in my family, she had a drinking problem. But, oh, I loved her just dearly. And she didn't have much money. But it seemed like she did because she lived by herself. She worked for a wedding photographer. It was like a secretary, and she would sort pictures for Otto Motal, wedding photographer extraordinaire. And he just, his office was a couple blocks away from her house, so she never drove. She never drove in her life. And she would just walk to work. But because she didn't have any expenses, it seemed like she had some money. So on Thursday nights, my mom would drive me to my Aunt Sissy's, and Sissy, because we couldn't afford steak in my house, but Aunt Sissy would always spoil me, and she'd get a T-bone steak at Food Town, the little tiny grocery store in Ballard. She would fry it. It was the only way she ever cooked it. She would fry a T-bone steak and then put frozen crinkle-cut French fries in the oven. And I'd sit and have the perfect dinner while watching the Waltons every Thursday night. And like I said, was life fantastic back then? No. But it was, it's a wonderful, warm, joyous memory. And so that's why, you know, Netflix and Spotify, why they're seeing this resurgence in movies, TV shows, music from the 70s, 80s, 90s, because people right now in these stressful times are turning to nostalgia just to try to generate some warm feeling. So I get that. I'm with that. But I do want to restate what I talked about at the start of the show, because I think it is extraordinarily important. And so let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So yesterday morning, Jay Inslee, 11 o'clock on a Sunday, had a press conference where he talked about another huge shutdown, lockdown of our state, of our economy is coming. It all goes into effect tonight. And the way everyone is talking, because I'm hearing it in the national media as well, is there another spike in positive coronavirus tests? Yes. But what we have been hearing nonstop for the last several days is that our hospitals are going to be overrun, that they're not going to have enough room, that we may have to get rid of elective surgeries again. And, you know, as I've told you, I got my right knee replaced the week before they shut down elective surgeries in our state, I was in such agony right before my knee replacement. It was, I think, literally killing me. Because it was my constant companion. And the idea that I would have had to have waited months and months and months more to get the knee replaced, I don't know how I would have handled it. Because the pain, and you know, those of you who have dealt with chronic pain, you know how it wears you down. That even if the pain is, you know, on a 1 to 10 scale, if it's a 2 or a 3, if it's your constant companion every second of your life, it wears you down. And I was, oh gosh, it was awful. It was just awful. So the idea that people may have to, you know, go back to no elective surgeries. I got an email this morning from a listener whose husband has been diagnosed with kidney cancer, and they're afraid they're not going to be able to do a cancer surgery because they need to save all the hospital space for COVID-19. And we're getting back to this level of hysteria that is driving people insane. They are talking about canceling Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is impossible to do because Thanksgiving and Christmas, in their ideals, it's not about going to Best Buy at 4 a.m. the day after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's about being thankful. Christmas is about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. You can't take away Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I spent a lot of time thinking about, why are they saying this? Why is Jake Tapper going on CNN saying Christmas is canceled? Why is Jay Inslee almost enthusiastically just talking about how we got to get rid of Thanksgiving and Christmas and just give it up for 1 year? My fear is something that I've been talking about for years now, and that is the destruction of the family. It has become a stated goal. This isn't me, you know, reading between the lines. You know, the Marxists, the socialist alternative movement that Shama Sawant is a part of, the Marxism that the founders of Black Lives Matter embrace, they say at their website, they took it down a few weeks ago, but they said on their Black Lives Matter website that one of their goals as an organization was the destruction of the traditional Western nuclear family, which is very much a Marxist position. So when I hear politicians telling us that we can't have Thanksgiving or Christmas this year, I recognize that this is not about public health and public safety, but it is about this destructive agenda to destroy the family and to destroy the traditions. And what I said a couple of hours ago, Jay Inslee doesn't have any jurisdictional rule over the sovereign land that are tribal casinos, but he could talk about them. He could say that he thinks that they should shut down, because if having your family at a Thanksgiving dinner is perceived as a super spreader event, what are casinos that have thousands of people every night in there? Why wouldn't Jay Inslee talk about that? When he was telling us we couldn't go to church for most of the last year, but he didn't dare say anything about nightly gatherings of Antifa and BLM and rioting that would ensue. Smashing windows was acceptable. Going to church was not. Gathering by the thousands in the streets so that you could spray paint and scream how much you hate cops was protected free speech. But you gathering to worship was a case where Jay Inslee said he can supersede First Amendment rights. So why are certain things being prioritized? Well, everything that's being prioritized is something that tears away at the family, the nuclear family, at the foundational elements that make us stronger, that bond us together, that sustain us through difficult times. Nobody can lift you up in difficult times like family. I was with family a few weeks ago for a pretty solid week and a half when we went out of town. I was going through one of the most difficult times in my life, and I was sustained and I was nourished and I was lifted up by family. And yet we have politicians through these incredibly difficult times of a pandemic where they're telling us, yeah, stay away from your family. You want to go scream about how much you hate cops? Oh, go do that. That's fine. But don't have turkey with your family. We must be very wary of these powerful dark forces that are pulling away at us. So here's Jay Inslee talking about locking down our society once again.
So the time has come to reinstate some of the restrictions on activities statewide to preserve our well-being and to save lives. Now, the choices we have announced today are not easy ones, I can tell you that. But I do believe they are the right choices given the threat that we face. I know it isn't easy. I share your frustration that we are back facing another wave. It would have been wonderful if we could have totally eliminated this. But we know from earlier this year this, and I think this should give us confidence. There are things we can do that work. We have done this once or twice before. So we know that if we continue to exercise diligence, that we can continue to knock this down.
Okay, so he says we're going to knock it down. Well, that's what they told us last spring. We're going to flatten the curve. We're going to go through this hardship one time. If you wear masks, if you socially distance, if we shut down our economy in the springtime, we'll all come through this better and stronger. And now we're told that apparently that didn't do anything. And most of us were diligent. And I see everybody wearing a mask when I go to the grocery store. I was at Costco on Friday night. Everybody masked up. Grocery store, everybody's masked up. Everybody's been doing what we've been asked to do. And it doesn't seem to be working. The other thing that is essential is transparency in these numbers. They talk about the spike in cases, but there has been a tremendous spike in the number of people tested. Of course, the raw number of people who test positive increases as we skyrocket the number of people who are getting tested. When they talk about the death rate, I still wish that everybody would talk about what percentage of those who are dying are 80 plus in age. And again, that doesn't mean that a death is any less tragic. But if people knew the truth about how it's an almost 0% chance if you are young and healthy, if you're in your teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and you're healthy, your chance of dying from this are almost zero, or statistically as close to zero as you can get. And yet we have people whose emotions, whose mental well-being has been absolutely destroyed because of the fear that's being foisted upon us by politicians. And then it gets back to the easiest way to control large groups of people is through fear. And there is just this insane desire to make sure that we're isolated, that we can't be with the people who unconditionally love us, who support us, who sustain us, but we can't do those family gatherings.
Indoor social gatherings with people from outside your home are prohibited unless they quarantine for 14 days prior to the social gathering, or quarantine for the 7 days prior to the gathering, and receive a negative COVID-19 test result no more than 48 hours prior to the gathering.
But again, you want to go play craps tonight, you can do that. He won't say anything about that. You want to go riot tonight, I know it's an outdoor gathering, but if you want to go riot tonight, as long as you scream horrible, hateful things about cops, well, then he will defend your First Amendment right. And it also makes me wonder, when he says it's prohibited, so if my daughters, who do not live under the same roof as us, if they come over for Thanksgiving, what's Jay Inslee going to do about that? And listen to the very beginning of this again.
Indoor social gatherings with people from outside your home are prohibited.
So what are you going to do, Jay? If my daughters come over for Thanksgiving, and I don't know if they're going to. We had talks this weekend. Breaks my heart that we may not, for safety reasons. But again, I'm in a higher risk than most. And my girls are nervous about that. You have instilled fear in so many people. But that's where I will continue. In fact, tomorrow, I'm going to go through all the stats on how many young, healthy people die from this, because shutting down our economy, telling families they can't be together, all of the things that are meant to inspire fear and give us no support. This is as dangerous as it can get. And when he was asked, well, why restaurant? Why are you shutting down all restaurants? There's no data, to suggest that going out to a restaurant to eat has contributed to any sort of a spike.
We do know that in some research done by Google that people who go to restaurants have had something like twice as higher level of transmission than those who do not. They've been able to track that through some of the Google information looking at cell phone data.
Oh, so Google is tracking us via our cell phones. They give Data Daddy the data, and then government tells us that we can't have our family over for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Oh, this sounds healthy. This sounds like a healthy way for all of us to live our lives. Have Google track our cell phone, give it to Data Daddy, and then he separates us from the people we love. Is this the direction you want to go? And then all the people who are upset about this, you voted for Jay Inslee in overwhelming numbers. You voted for the Data Daddy. This is not a healthy place right now. I'm telling you, we're in a very dangerous time where the declared desire of Marxists that have led the protests in the streets, that have become a increasingly part of mainstream Democrat governance, taken away the family. This is something that if we allow it to happen, then we're finished as a nation. And our mental health will be far more wracked than coronavirus could possibly do to our physical health. I will continue to try to counterbalance so much of what they're trying to shove down our throats right now. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Good, check the news for you, and then we'll continue. I'm getting lots of your messages. I'll share a lot of your comments. I'd love to hear what you think about everything you're hearing from your government. Text me at 98973, and I'll give you your read on the Big Lead. 98973 is the text line, and we'll continue with your thoughts as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
We'll be right back.
You think about all of these workers. I just heard the El Gaucho guy in the newscast there. They're devastated because their employees thought maybe there was light at the end of the tunnel, but that was a train coming at them. It turns out as the restaurants are going to have to shut down again. I felt really bad. Yesterday afternoon, my wife and I went for a walk, and we walked down to the little town center shopping area that's within walking distance. And there's a gym there, Planet Fitness, where I've been a member, my wife, a couple of my girls. I've been members there for, gosh, 10 years at least. And I haven't gone even after they reopened. And in fact, I just got a Peloton because I would go to the gym to use the elliptical and to get a cardio workout. Well, we just got a Peloton bike, just came on Friday. And so my wife and I walked down to the gym and canceled our four family memberships. And there was a young girl at the front desk. She had a mask on, so she looked like she might be college age. But here she was on a Sunday afternoon, making a living, making money, working. And I felt bad because we went down to cancel. And they said you have to cancel in person because they need a signature. We couldn't do it over the phone. And this girl was just awesome. You know, because I was expecting, I've heard that they really hard sell you and, well, we can just put it on hold and then you can restart when the restrictions are lifted. There was none of that. And while she was helping us, a call came in from somebody else who wanted to cancel. And I was thinking, after tonight, this young girl is going to be out of a job. And you just think about all these people who they're just trying to make their way and to make a few bucks. And the economy's being ripped apart once again. It made me feel bad. But for us, we just decided that we'll get our cardio workout here at home. And I've got my free weights here at home so I can, you know, do a little lifting. And I just don't need the gym anymore. But she was so good-natured about it. And I said to her, I said, I'm really sorry for what you're going through. And she goes, oh, we just have to deal with it. And she was just so positive. I wish I had a job that I could have hired her because she was just so positive and friendly and nice when you have all these people who you know are going through turmoil because they're facing losing their job. And then you have our political class. Down in California, their governor, like ours, Gavin Newsom, has told everybody you cannot get together with people from outside your household. And we are limiting gatherings to no more than five people. You know, Jay Inslee said it's prohibited for your adult children to come over for Thanksgiving and Christmas here in our state. Gavin Newsom has told Californians they have the same restrictions. But guess what Gavin Newsom did a few nights ago? He went to dinner at one of the most exclusive restaurants in the world. It's in San Francisco. It's called the French Laundry. He went to dinner with his wife, with about a dozen people from many, many, many different households. And why? What was so important that he was willing to violate the restrictions that he has imposed on the people of his state? Oh, it was the 50th birthday of a powerful lobbyist in California. A guy named Jason Kinney, a longtime friend. So just remember, when your politicians tell us that we can't get together with our family, and then right after telling us that, They'll get together with several different families in an exclusive restaurant because it was the 50th birthday for a powerful lobbyist, and then try to tell me that this is about public health when they obviously are willing to risk their own lives if it means celebrating a friend's birthday. I am not going to take orders from a bunch of stinking hypocrites. Nationally, Joe Biden is starting to speak more as it becomes increasingly likely that he'll be the next president. He was asked if he'll take the vaccine that is coming.
It's important that people who are in the greatest need get it. I wouldn't hesitate to get the vaccine. But I also want to set an example. But I wouldn't hesitate to get the vaccine if, in fact, Dr. Fauci and these two organizations, whether it's Moderna or Pfizer, who have been extremely responsible, conclude that it is safe and able to be done. Look, the only reason people question the vaccine now is because of Donald Trump.
What? The only reason people question the vaccine is because of Trump. Hey, let it go. Come on, man. You apparently won, and you got to stop beating that drum. He's still having trouble putting words together, too. You can hear that.
We all agreed that we want to get the economy back on track. We need our workers to be back on the job by getting the virus under control. We're going in a very dark winter. Things are going to get much tougher before they get easier. And that requires sparing no effort to fight COVID so that we can open our businesses safely, resume our lives, and put this pandemic behind us. It's going to be difficult, but it can be done. And they all agreed that means rallying the country behind a national strategy with robust public health measures like mandatory masking, widely available testing with rapid results, scaled up production of life-saving treatments and therapeutics, and safe, equitable, and free distribution of the vaccine.
We've been doing all of those things. There's nothing new there. That is exactly what the current administration has been doing. And so, but remember, right now, a new administration, they need to control people as efficiently as possible, and fear is how you control people. How about Thanksgiving, Joe?
Well, here's what I'd do. Let me tell you what the health experts have said to me. And it's not because I'm unique and president-elect. It's because of my family. They strongly urge that if, in fact, we're going to have Thanksgiving with anyone, that we limit it to a maximum. They suggest 5 people, maximum 10 people, socially distanced, wearing masks, and people who have quarantined. So Jill and I spent this morning, like many of you, trying to figure out what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? How are we going to do it? And we've narrowed down which family members, and that they were tested, recently tested in 24 hours.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen for most of us because the testing facilities are getting overwhelmed already from people. But again, what's good for thee is not good for me if you're a politician, right? Okay, we're going to check our favorite sound bites of the day. We'll do that coming up as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. The time of day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Joe Biden says that if he does indeed become president, he wants to have you pay off other people's college loans. $50,000 of loan forgiveness is what Joe is targeting. Dinesh D'Souza, he was talking about that, and he said what this is what we're going to be hearing an awful lot of for the next 4 years, and that is a massive transfer of wealth in America.
They want to transfer wealth away from, you may say, the Trump constituency, working class people, toward their constituency, which is basically the people who get worthless liberal arts degrees and can't get jobs. So this is a transfer scheme to move money away from people who may not have gone to college, but work hard, pay taxes, take their money, give it to spoiled brat kids who are living in their mom's basement. And this is a reward for those worthless constituencies supporting Biden.
Amen to that. Yeah, so if you're a hardworking blue-collar plumber, electrician, drywall hanger, you're going to have to give up some of your salary so somebody could get their women's studies degree at Evergreen State and be absolutely unemployable. Okay, I talked earlier today with Mauro, who's the owner of Asagio Restaurant in downtown Seattle, about what this shutdown of our economy means for his business. Mauro Galvare.
And after 7 months, he's reopening for a little bit, you know, Wednesday through Saturday for four hours during the day to do the takeout and everything. And here we get a close down again for God knows, they said 1 month for now until December 14, I believe. I don't know what's going to happen to us. I mean, I swear to you, Dory, I was just crying last night and thinking, how am my crew going to handle it again?
Earlier this year, it was shootings and violence in downtown Seattle that cost them business. Now it's an entirely different threat. And just the idea that something even more devastating came along after that, it breaks my heart for somebody like you, Mauro.
Thank you. It's been a very troublesome a lot because same time I am paying my tax, I am paying, you know, my everything I need to pay to survive, you know, the PPP loan first time helped a little bit, Dory. I'm not sure how we're going to do this time around. I don't know if we have a good people to be helping us to go through this second wave because unfortunately, is a winter time, Dory. It's going to be very harder for lots of us.
Sure.
I mean, as you know, your expenses are going to go higher, your electricity bill, and, you know, your food consumption, everything. It's going to be a harder time around. It's going to be very hard. I am a little bit above and beyond boringness here. And I lost sleep last night over after watching 11 o'clock in the morning, finding out what governor going to say, what we're going to do, how we're going to do. And it's a hard story. I'm shaking right now. I'm talking to you. It's a very, very scary moment.
But he told me that there are beautiful moments amidst the madness.
I got to tell you something positive. I had a customer coming in and he ate $200 at dinner and I paid $5,000 tips. And they go, Mauro, just because of your crew, they've been so good to us every time we come in. And we want to make sure everybody share this money.
That's very nice. Very beautiful. All right. This is Mauro Galvare, Asagio Restaurant. God bless you in these crazy times. Tom and Curly are coming up next, and we'll continue to try to balance some of the nonsense the politicians are trying to send down our throats. Tom and Curly next. See you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.